perfect. Pastor Phil Davis.
Go ahead and clip it on. Hey, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. You know, I was really afraid that we were going to have to go through this whole breakfast without hearing a joke from my brother Dan, and I was so blessed to see that he did not disappoint. And I am one of those that really enjoy a little humor, and our brother Dan is a true blessing. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The word light there, rendered in the Greek, is the word phos, P-H-O-S. And it's a root word where we get the word phosphorus. Phosphorus is one in the periodic table of elements, is one of those elements, and it's a unique element because in and of itself, if it abides by itself, as soon as it hits air, it ignites. The pure phosphorus is not capable of existing by itself, but instead what happens is they mix something with it, or it's found in nature with some other element with it that lends stability to it. And there's three types of phosphorus. White phosphorus is the strongest, and it's what is used in making matches and making fireworks. Red phosphorus, not so powerful, not so dangerous, and it's used for other elements and like fertilizer and things. And then the other one that's typically found is black phosphorus, and black phosphorus is now not nearly as combustible as white phosphorus or red phosphorus. And that word, rendered phos, is defined as radiance. Radiance. Let your radiance so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify the Lord. And so that radiance is something that comes forth from us. It's what's, you know, and you can't fake true biblical godly radiance. That's something that comes from the Lord. It's not something you can put on. It's not something that you can fake. It's either there really existing in your life, or it isn't. Now turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel. One of my brothers shared about our brother Daniel and what a blessing he is and what a godly example he is. And in the book of Daniel, we're going to look at today in Daniel chapter 6, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And most of us are familiar with the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And today what we want to do is we're going to look at three ways of letting your light shine, because we have examples in our story of three different ways that some of the people that are introduced either did or did not let their light shine. Now, there are some that let their light shine, and it's brilliant. And if you take phosphorus and you were to have that element and you could throw it into a fire, you're going to have a flare-up. You're going to have this big, huge, expression of light. And you're going to see it. It's going to be evident for everyone to see. And a lot of magicians use a type of phosphorus when they do tricks. And they do the smoke, you know, the smoke and mirrors kind of thing. Well, that's the smoke part of it. They're throwing this stuff in here. It is this big flash. And what usually happens is you're so blinded by the flash that you don't see the person come through the top door or whatever it is. So there are those types of people. There are some that have absolutely no light at all. There are some people in the world that just do not have light coming forth from their life. And then there are some that are those who either has allowed their light to fade, or it's in the process of fading. And it's not so much a flash. Maybe it's, a little, dim, like almost like a night light or less than that. So there's very little light. Let's read in Daniel chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and then the king should have no damage or suffer no loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Daniel was one of those who distinguished himself in what he did, and he accomplished what he was charged to do. So he was one of those guys that you give him a task and you say, you know, go out and make this happen. He was the guy that could go out and make it happen. And he trusted the Lord in all of his life. You could see that the anointing of the Lord was upon this guy. I don't know what it is about the name Daniel, you know, but there's something special. Right, Dan? There's something special about guys that are named Daniel, and especially this example that we have in the Bible about this particular Daniel. So the governors, the three governors are over 40 satraps. Those guys were just people that were in charge of the king's business and or a region, and they were all charged to make sure that the king didn't suffer any loss financially or any loss to his kingdom. So putting guys into place that you had confidence in and trusted. And, you know, apparently Daniel had so presented himself in such a positive way that the king saw something special in him. And so, as far as the three presidents were concerned, that were over 120 satraps, he put Daniel as the first. And here, and you got to remember, this is the kingdom of Persia. This is not Israel. The Babylonians came in, and Nebuchadnezzar came into Israel, took Jerusalem, took them into captivity for 70 years in Babylon. In the midst of that, what happened was Babylon fell, and the Medo-Persian Empire came in, and so this Persian king Darius was now in power, and he was in power, and what he did is he sets up a Jew as the number one president, the number one guy in charge of his kingdom. Okay, so he saw something so special in him. Well, now you have a 122 other leaders that he put into power, and they're looking at this Jew and going, how come, you know, the king would put this guy in charge of us Persians? He would take preference of him over us. So let me tell you something. Most of you guys fall into either two or three categories. You're either employed and you have a boss now, or you're unemployed and you will soon have a boss in the future. And all of us have somebody to report to. There's not one person who doesn't have somebody to report to. President Harry S. Truman had a sign on his desk that says, "The buck stops here." All right? The buck stops here. Well, really, as president, that's not really true, because the president answers to the people. And so everyone, doesn't matter who you are, you have somebody telling you what to do. And that is your boss. And you have a responsibility to be a good employee, to be one that, because that is the guy that's signing your check, that you're listening to what he says and you're going to follow those things. So our jobs are to report and to work and to represent well. Well, that is what Daniel was doing. He was a really good employee. He was the guy that he was outstanding. He was, you know, everybody could see it, that was the guy that if you wanted to pick somebody, he was it. Well, when I was going to college, I worked for at Disneyland for a couple of years, and I worked at the Skyway. And for those of you old guys, it's not there anymore. But the Skyway worked most primarily in Fantasyland Skyway, sometimes Tomorrowland side. There was one guy in particular that I noticed, and he was not a flash in the pan, but what he was is he was always on time. When he was on the job, he was focused on his job. And he was not one of the guys like me and like all the other guys that were cut-ups and goofballs and just, you know. He was serious about his job. And I always thought in my heart when I watched him, if I ever was an employer, I would want guys just exactly like that. Because you respect that. Even as a goofball, I respected that. I could see the difference in that man. And so this is the kind of guy that Daniel was. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." And so, in other words, if you're diligent and you're doing the things in your business that you're supposed to do, you'll be honored. And certainly, Daniel was one of those. Daniel had capabilities and a loyal character, and the king was keenly aware of that, and he wanted to put Daniel in charge of his business, of his responsibilities. Look at verse 4 with me. We're going to continue reading. "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." So now we're introduced to those who aren't revealing any light because there is no light shining from them and because they're in darkness. This is the princes. These are the people that, do you think that they had the king's business really at heart? These 122 men that were in leadership, what were they thinking about? Certainly not the king's business. They were thinking about their own business. They were thinking about, how am I looking in this situation? They were paying more attention to that. And, you know, one of the things about people that are so in darkness like this is they hate the light in others. They hate it. And so some of the satraps and one or two of the governors were all in on this scheme. And not only that, but then they start bringing all these other people in the kingdom. Now we're talking about the captains are saying to the king, oh, everybody is for this, king. We've all got together. We've all put our heads together, and we've all decided that this is the thing that really, really should be done. So instead of being impressed by the level of faithfulness and work ethic, they wanted to pull Daniel down. They saw something in Daniel that they hated. You know, I don't know what it was, but when I was in the private sector and I worked, I would sometimes come to work on Monday morning and I would go in, and there was one or two people, it didn't matter what was going on, they had no right side of the bed to get up on. Every side was the wrong side. And you'd go in and say, you know, good morning, Bob, and they'd say, what's good about it? You know, this place stinks. You know, the management is, you know, they would go on, and he would just basically want to back up and go, okay, you know, sorry I said anything. You know, but the problem is with people like that is when somebody comes in that has a positive attitude and comes in at you know, at peace and all that stuff, you know, well, what happens is they're repelled by that. Light and darkness cannot exist together. They don't dwell together. And what happens is when you turn on the light, the darkness flees. And so you go into a dark room, you turn on the light exists, but the darkness flees. And this is so true. John 3:20 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." They don't want anything to do with it. And so these are the kind of people, this is one of the three people types of people we're looking at concerning light, that they don't have any light. They don't have it. That light doesn't dwell within them. So there's nothing that's going to come out from them that's any good. Now, verse 6 says that they thronged about the throne. So, in other words, they came in a mass or in a huge delegation. They came in. So, you know, sometimes when there's numbers, it's overwhelming. You know, people sit there and they you know, you bring enough people to tell you the same thing, and you're pretty soon you're convinced of it, right? You know, because of the amount of people that are there. You ever hear the saying, birds of a feather flock together? Okay, well, these vultures were gathering together hoping for a dead Daniel to feast on. And they were looking for a way to take him down. They wanted to take Daniel down. So they tell the king that they've got their heads together, and they come up with this great plan of having everyone show homage to the king, King Darius, but only for a period of 30 days. Okay? Now, listen, if you really had a heart to bring attention and homage and all this, you know, preference to the king, why would you limit it to only 30 days? Right? Wouldn't you just put it into place and say that people should do this and show that for, you know, forever? But, you know, they only needed 30 days in order to take Daniel down. And so, you know, we see a little bit of their heart. And Darius should have picked up on this. He should have been one of those that really could see that they were up to no good. They were trying to bring, they had an alternative plan. They were trying to do something else. And again, Darius, you know, apparently was so impressed by the that he allowed it to take him down. Now, Darius was the kind of guy, he could see the godly characteristics of Daniel. He could see that Daniel was a special man. He could see the anointing upon him, and he wanted that for his kingdom, and he wanted that kind of godly capability to be in his kingdom. But he allowed these men to come in and to change his mind and his heart. And because he was thinking about himself. And this is the second kind of man that we see, the guy that with the light. It's like the red phosphorus, you know, not as powerful as the white phosphorus. And what happens is people have that big glow. Remember, it's those that have a first love with the Lord. And then through time, other things kind of creep in. And people get caught up in their own, you know, selfish means and their own selfish gains. And what happens, they get their eyes off the Lord. And so that light starts to diminish. It starts to fade. And they certainly do not give the glory to God. They're doing it so the glory goes to themselves. So Darius was caught up in this. He allowed himself to be so caught up in it that he went ahead and he signed the decree, which could not be revoked according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians. Verse 10 tells us, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So Daniel did what he had done from his early days as directed in the Bible. You can turn in here, Psalms 55, 16 and 17. These are things that Daniel had read. He grew up reading the Word of God. And so he had taken God's commands concerning how we're to worship, Psalm 55, 16 through 17. And so he was making these things applicable to his own life. And it wasn't something that he just started because, you know, he was in the situation. These were things that he had learned from a long time ago. It says, David said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice." Three times a day, right? So three times a day, this is the example that Daniel has. And then in 2 Chronicles 6, you can turn there, 2 Chronicles 6. We are told here clearly that there's going to be a time when they're going to go into captivity, and when they do, they're given instruction of how they're to live and the things that they're to do. So very clear instructions. 2 Chronicles 6, 34 through 39. Now listen to this. "If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen," talking about Jerusalem, "and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive into a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from the dwelling place, their prayers and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee." Daniel was doing this. He was praying three times a day. He had his windows open towards Israel, towards Jerusalem, towards the place where the temple had been, to God's house. And that's what he was doing. He was believing the word of God, and he was acting upon it. And you know what? They all knew it. They all could see it. They were all aware of Daniel's faithfulness. Just like the king, that was what was so special about Daniel. He had that, you know, as an employee, he was the kind of guy you looked at and you said, man, that's the kind of guy I want. So Daniel was faithful to let his light shine forth no matter what others might say about it. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, there's an old saying, don't, you know, put your light in a bushel. You know, when you cover it up, you know, the light doesn't do a whole lot of good. You gotta let it go out and shine. And it's kind of hard to let your light shine when you're, you know, with the windows closed and the doors closed. So what Daniel did is he's got his windows open, wide open, and he's letting everyone see. And they knew. They all knew that Daniel was going to continue to pray. And all these guys knew that that's how they were going to catch him. Daniel was letting everyone know that he would seek the Lord, not to spite the edict, but because this was his daily lifestyle. And, you know, we don't have to react to what people do and what people say, but we do have to obey the Word of God. And if God has given us instructions about things that we need to do to apply to our lives, we need to listen and obey. And this word here, guys, brothers and sisters, this word is the direction that we have for our lives. And these are the things that God wants us to apply to our lives. And in order for us to know and be faithful to that, we've got to stay in the Word. We've got to be faithful. We have to seek these things out. And that when you have an opportunity to go to church and have a Bible study, be a part of that. Or if you're getting together at work, at your workplace, with two or three guys at lunch, and you're opening up the Word of God, be a part of that. That's how you grow. And we need to know what the Lord expects from us. In verse 11, it says, Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then he came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they, and said before the king, That Daniel, which is one of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, and that no decree or statute which the king established can be changed. So the trap was sprung, and the trappers went right to the king. They had set this whole thing up just as, I mean, not to honor the king, not to show him any preference, but to catch Daniel. So after reminding him about the edict, verse 14 says that Darius was upset with himself. He had, you know, he really wanted Daniel to be, he wanted that so much for him to be a part of the kingdom, to be, because he trusted him. He had confidence in him. He was a faithful man, and so the king was looking for faithful men. And so he was very unhappy that he had got caught up in this. And he tried, but to no avail, to deliver Daniel from the situation. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You notice the word continually? That's really important here. It wasn't something that he was doing and sometimes he was on and sometimes he was off. He was all on. He was in it. He was in it for the duration. And King Darius could see that. Not only that, but a little bit later we're going to see him use that same terminology again where he says, the God that you serve continually. He shall deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, verse 17, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So the king had no choice. His hands were tied. He tried to think of ways that he could, you know, change this, that he could make a difference so that he could save Daniel through this. But it wasn't going to happen. But notice what he says to Daniel. He says, Your God, who you serve continually, will deliver you. He had seen God in action in Daniel's life. And he not only was impressed by what Daniel did, he was impressed by Daniel's God. He saw something special in that. He had a relationship, seeking God. He had a heart to seek the things of God. He saw something special in Daniel, but he allowed his own heart and the things that would make him look good to overshadow that. So the king said that Daniel's continuous light in serving God had led the king to believe that Daniel could be delivered when his hands were tied. In verse 18, In verse 18 it says, Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Now the king commanded, and they brought those men whom had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces before they could ever reach the bottom of the den. Now King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivers and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So Darius spent the night fasting, and he didn't even allow any diversion or entertainment, and was unable to sleep. I believe that this is pretty clear that Darius cared for Daniel and wanted to see God deliver him. Early the next morning, he rushes to the den and calls out, in a voice of anguish, that he was so concerned over how Daniel fared that he cried out, and there was anguish in his voice. When Daniel tells the king he is okay, they take him up out of the den. Now, when the Bible talks about them taking him up, it doesn't say that they, you know, it wasn't any rushing to get him up before the lions did anything. They were slowly lifting him up out of that den. And listen, guys, it says in the Bible that the angel closed the mouths of the lions. Well, you know what? Lions have really sharp claws. And if they were trying to destroy Daniel, they would have grabbed onto him. But I don't believe that's what was going on. I believe the nature of the lions had changed. I believe those lions were at total peace. And I think that Daniel probably spent the night curled up, with his head laying on the belly of a lion, and just having a good night. And those lions were at such peace, and there was, they weren't gonna harm him. But what happens when he throws the accusers and their families down there? They didn't even have a chance to hit the floor, and the lions were on them and tearing them to pieces. So as soon as Daniel was delivered, then they went back to their other nature, which was to tear and to destroy and devour. So it's a wonderful story. Wonderful story about the deliverance of somebody. Now, we saw three things. We saw the king. He was that red phosphorus guy. He was he wanted the things of God, but he was so easily turned. And so he did not have the power. The white phosphorus, that was Daniel. He was the one that was, he's on fire. He's burning bright for the Lord. He's got that light shining and showing. And then we have others, and these are the people that were, they didn't care about the king thing. They were only in it for themselves. And they had no light. They didn't have anything going for them because it was all about them. They didn't care about the things of God. They didn't care about the things of the king. They wanted it all for ourselves. And brothers, I'm trying to tell you, you need to evaluate yourselves. Where do you fall into this scheme? Where do you fall in? Are you that kind of person that's, stone cold? There's no light shining forth? There's nothing coming out of your life? Are you that kind of person that once that was happening for you, you were having that going on? That's your first love, and you were really excited about the things of God. You couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to get the Bible study. You longed for worship. And we had a brother here, Jerry, that was doing some just awesome worship for us. and what a blessing to have him come and just to lead us into the throne room and have that time to bow our hearts and our minds before the Lord. Or are you the Daniel? Are you burning so bright? And that's the way we all need to be, right? We need to desire that within our hearts. Lord Jesus, just help us. Help us to be a Daniel. Help us to be that guy. It doesn't matter where we're at. We're always doing the things that please the Lord. We're, you know, if we're at the workplace, no matter where we're at, people can keep an eye on us and they can sit there and go, man, that guy serves the Lord. It's evident in his life. It's always there. So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to speak to us. Father God, we are so grateful to you for all that you do, and certainly as we look at the book of Daniel, what a great man and what a great example he is to us. And we pray, God, that if we've been slipping, if we've allowed things of the world and concerns of this world to take our attention off of you, and we haven't let our lights burn as brightly as they should, that you would speak to us, that you would not let us leave this room before we confess that sin and we make it right with you. And Father, as Jerry comes up and he's going to lead us in one song and Renee's going to pass out the elements, before we partake of communion, we don't want to have anything be in our hearts that would separate us from you, that would keep us from being all that we might be for you, that would give us just the sense of being able to receive the elements with a right heart. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, convict us. Reprove us. Change our hearts, Lord. Give us the power to be a Daniel. Give us the strength to be a Daniel. Help us to be those that seek you with all of our hearts. And we just ask that you would help us as we go back to our homes and to our workplaces this next week, that you would help our lights to shine brightly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jerry, why don't you come on up, and Renee's going to hand out the elements.
Okay, if you've opened the top of your little cup there, you've seen there's a wafer. And this represents the body of the Lord that was broken for us. And Jesus said he wanted us to partake of this stuff to remember him by. And there's a lot of things that we can remember the Lord Jesus by. He had 3 years of ministry here on the earth, and he said and did a lot of things. John said so many other things that Jesus said and did, but these are given that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. And so this is the thing, the bread and the cup is what the Lord said that he gave us that we might remember him. So the representation of the wafer or the bread of to represent his body that was broken, that was beat up, pounded, crushed for our sake, because he loved us, and even though he despised all of that cruelty and that affliction on his body, he submitted to it because this was his Father's will, and he knew that this was the way that all of those that followed after him would have eternal life and be part of the family of God. So wafers is very important to us, representing his body broken for us. Let's partake. The cup. Hebrews 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was necessary for his blood to be spilled on our behalf. He was the sacrificial lamb, and that requirement of the blood of the lamb to be shed for remission of sin, going back to the Old Testament, and then Jesus paying that final price of spilling his blood on the cross for us. So as we look at the cup, again, we're remembering what he did for us and shedding his blood on our behalf. When we remember him, with gratitude, grateful to him for what he has done for us. So let's partake. Okay, why don't we all stand? And we're going to ask Jerry to do one more song. And then Dan can come up and give us any further instructions. God bless you guys.
Let your cup of cleansing, let your blood